That. Well, we get to honor our grads today. We get to honor our grads, and I'm excited to do that. So I'm going to invite them to come forward right now. I know Christian is so excited. Christian and Faye. See, I know you well enough to know, right, Christian? And then Janet Zamesnik, come on down. We are so happy and proud of you. So first we have Christian on the screen. This is the picture he chose, which I love. I love that picture. I'm so glad you chose it. Good job. He's going to Bowling Green State University, going to study business management. Next, we have Faye Schuler. She is going to Eckerd College to study marine sciences. Yay, right? Isn't that cool? And wait, you didn't clap for Christian. Now clap for Christian. And then next, we have Kylie Hope Zamesnik, and she's going to Miami of Ohio to study kinesiology and run track. She's on running track on a scholarship. Yeah, so that's exciting. And I'm super happy you're studying kinesiology. Have I told you that I go to a chiropractor who does kinesiology? She's fantastic. So I don't think she's technically licensed in it, but she practices some of it, and it works. So I'm super pumped. Do you? Good. That's awesome. I love that. So I asked them to be prepared to answer a question. And so let me just get the question and read it, because otherwise I'll mess it up. Because I'm getting old and I'm forgetful. So the question I asked them to be ready to answer was, what is one change you would like to see in the world that you hope to help bring about in your future? Okay, what's one change you'd like to see in the world that you would like to help bring about in your future? Now, please know, there's not pressure with this question. It's only a chance for me to get into a glimpse into your heart and to see how God might use you in the future. But it's not like you have to do all this tomorrow, okay, or your freshman year. It's not like that, okay? So, Christian, what is one change you would like to see in the world that you hope to help bring about in your future?
More opportunities for like the younger generation.
That's good. We need that. I'm happy to hear that. That's fantastic. Faye, what about you?
I'm hoping for a better environment so people can learn how to protect and save the environment.
Yeah, that's good. God created it. He told us to take care of it. I love that. Okay, Kylie.
So I went a completely different route this question.
Okay, that's fine.
Basically, I took it as like a change in the world and then like changing like myself, because I don't want to be the problem in the world. So I was going to not be the problem and like do it in the future. So I went like, I feel like going into like my freshman year, like so much like bullying and like all this stuff, I want to go in and not like, I want to have an open heart and like take everyone. I don't want to judge a book by its cover and like love others how like I want to be loved.
Yeah.
So I took it as that.
That's
like
good.
I don't want to be the problem in the world. So I want to go in and like,
that's good. You know, be the change you want to see. Exactly. Right. That's good. All right. I love that. That's awesome. Thank you for Yeah. Didn't they do great? All of them. Fantastic. So we have a gift for you from Oak River. It's a journal, because I believe there's such value in journaling. There's a card inside that has a gift card that'll help you get started. Christian wanted a gas card because, you know, it's almost $5 a gallon. Faye and Kylie both got a Target gift card to help kind of get ready for your dorm room, okay? So we have that for you in there, but I just want to share something with you that I felt like the Lord gave me for each of you. Christian, when I was praying for you all week, I kept hearing the word strength, that you are very, very strong and that you want to be stronger. But I don't mean in a physical way, although that's fine too. I mean, inside, God has created you to be strong. And if you want to be stronger, He is where you're going to find more strength. So I really encourage you, go for that. Don't be ashamed of it or shy about it. Go for that strength, but make sure it's internal as much as it is external, okay? Faye, when I prayed for you this week, I heard the word passion. You're very passionate about taking Jesus to new cultures and new areas, and I know that from practical, but I did hear that word strongly over you. And I just want you to encourage you to get to take to everything you do, do it with Jesus. Not on your own, you know, to, he wants to be part of your passion. He wants to be your driving force behind your passion. So run the race that he's called you to race, but just stay side by side with him. That's what I heard for you. And then Kylie, I heard the phrase over you, still waters run deep. And that you are a very deep faith. You have a very deep faith, but you're not flashy about it. You're kind of still about it, but you're deep. And that's a beautiful thing. God celebrates all the uniqueness up here. So don't shy away from that. Keep being who created you to be. But I just heard the word deep. You're very deep in your faith, and keep letting it go deeper and deeper as you go into your freshman year. Okay. And I speak all over all three of you, life in your freshman year. Don't give in to the urges that so many freshmen give into. You can rise above that lifestyle and you can set a different course. You don't have to do what all the freshmen do. You can be different and you can rise above it, okay? So stretch your hands towards them. Maybe if you could all come together so I can put my hands around all of you. There you go, like this. Perfect. God, we thank you for Christian, Faye, and Kylie. God, I pray a blessing over them as they go into their freshman year. I call the bravery out in them to rise up above the expectations of man, to rise above it and not to give in to the fear of man or peers, but that they would rise above it and set a new height and a very new place for what freshmen are supposed to look like. And that they would just tuck in close to you, each of them, in their strength, in their passion, and in their deep depth, that they would lean in close to you to be fed by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love you guys. Here you go. Christian, Faye, and Kylie. Enjoy. Yeah. Awesome. I love them. Love them all. I'm especially fond of teenagers and youth and above teenagers. I don't know. I love it. So we're continuing our theme this year on To Live in Awe. And this month, our monthly theme is Inside the Kingdom. So to live in awe inside the kingdom. And today, because we honored our grads, I want to talk about in new beginnings. So if you're going to a new beginning, whether it's a freshman in college or a new part of your life, I want to talk about new beginnings and how you can be inside the kingdom in new beginnings. And I believe it's going to touch our grads and everybody else also. So we're going to start with point number one. New beginnings need new receiving. If you're going into a new beginning, you need to be postured in an area and in a place that you can receive from the Lord the tools and the power that he gives you for the new beginning. I've never had a new beginning in my life where I didn't need new receiving. Never. Every time God brings me to a new beginning, I posture myself and I say, okay, God, if you brought me here, then you must have some new receiving that you want to do for me. You want to give me something new to be equipped for the new beginning. So we're going to look at Acts 1, 1 through 5. Some of you know that last week was Pentecost Sunday. I mentioned it. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. But I'm reading from the easy to read version today because it's Family Worship Sunday. So I try to choose an easy version for when we have kids in here. This version says, "Dear Theophilus, the first book I wrote was about everything Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was carried up into heaven. Before he went, he talked to the apostles he had chosen. With the help of the Holy Spirit, he told them what they should do. This was after his death, but he showed them that he was alive, proving it to them in many ways. The apostles saw Jesus many times. during the 40 days after he was raised from death. He spoke to them about God's kingdom. Okay? So, one time, verse 4, one time when Jesus was eating with them, I don't know, I don't see it up there, but I have it here on mine. One time when Jesus was eating with them, he told them not to leave Jerusalem. He said, "Wait here until you receive what the Father promised to send. Remember, I told you about it before. John baptized with water." There it is. "But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when Jesus was getting ready to ascend to heaven to be with his Father, he said to them, to his disciples, "Wait here because there's a new beginning coming and you're going to need to receive something new." And he talked about it, but I find it interesting because point A, we need Jesus to reveal his kingdom ways. I love that in verse 3, it talked about the fact that Jesus continually talked to his apostles about kingdom ways. Now, he's already conquered death. He's been crucified on the cross. He's been raised from the dead. And now he's talking to them about kingdom ways. And you might think that's strange. But it's like he wants to make sure before he leaves that they understand this kingdom looks different than every other kingdom before. So he's trying to impart to them, give them, help them receive new understanding on a kingdom that functions very differently than every other kingdom they've been part of. So for 40 days he did this. He talked about the kingdom. You think it's this, but it's really this. You think it's that, but it's really that. Everything is different. We'll talk more about it next month. But that's what he dealt with for 40 days. But then I love that he said, "Listen, I've given you a mission. The mission is to go and make new disciples, teach and preach and heal and set people free and raise the dead. That's your mission, but don't start until you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you're going to need the Holy Spirit to carry out the mission I've given you. Wait here until you get filled." Point B, we need to be filled. Remember I talked about the word baptism because that's the word in the original King James language, baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that word baptizo means dipped and died. Dipped and died. And then made a new color. Dipped and died. That's what it means, right? And I believe that we need to hear about the kingdom again and again because we get off course very easily. And I think we need to be filled with the Spirit again and again. I just think that's what we need. In Acts, you can see that people who got filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost got filled again and again and again throughout Acts. And so I believe it takes more than once, and I believe I continually need to be filled. Almost every morning I pray, "God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to accomplish the mission you set out for me to do, but I can't do it on my own. I've tried. Didn't work out so well." So if you're in any kind of new beginning, remember, ask Jesus to reveal his kingdom ways to you again and again. Ask Jesus or the Holy Spirit to fill you again and again. All the time. I need to be dipped and dyed again today. But I imagine for that 10 days between Jesus ascended and when the Holy Spirit descended, I imagine the disciples, there's no evidence of this, I'm telling you, this is my imagination, but I imagine the disciples talked a lot about what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Because if they're waiting in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to come, and Jesus has said, "Don't start the mission until the Holy Spirit comes," they have to be going, "Now, what did he say again about the Holy Spirit? What did he say? What did he have to talk about regarding the Holy Spirit?" I think he called him a comforter once, didn't he? I mean, I imagine they just were trying to remind each other what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. So I want to look at that today. Point two, new beginnings bring new advantages. As freshmen in college, you're going to have some new advantages. You're going to have some new challenges, but you're going to have some new advantages. What do you do with those advantages? John 16, 4 through 7, this is Jesus talking, and he's talking to his followers, and he says, I did not tell you these things at the beginning because I was with you then. Now I'm going back to the one who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But you are filled with sadness because I have told you all this. Let me assure you, it is better. What did he say? It is better for you that I go away. I say this because when I go away, I will send the helper to you. But if I did not go, the helper would not come. The helper. The Holy Spirit, it says plainly in a couple of verses later, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Comforter. The Greek word is paraclete. Parakletos means one who walks beside. Yeah. The sad thing is to me that in the capital C church, what I mean by that is the big church all over the world that follows Jesus, the Cap C Church, I feel like the Holy Spirit has been so misunderstood, and it's actually become a dividing point, which is crazy, because Jesus said, you need the Holy Spirit to do what I've called you to do. But I think the reason it's become so divisive is because I think the Holy Spirit has been somewhat misrepresented. Maybe by human beings who we fail, we're flawed. I mean, we've kind of turned the Holy Spirit into a sideshow of magic tricks. It's so much more than that. First, I want to tell you that when we ask Jesus into our hearts, we get the Holy Spirit inside us. That's a given. You wouldn't even be able to ask Jesus into your heart if the Holy Spirit didn't prompt you to do so, okay? But Jesus was talking about a second work, and it's made clear in Acts 1 and 2, of being filled with the Spirit. Is he resting on us? Is he working through us? Is he in charge of our lives? Okay, so that's a second work. So I'm going to invite you today to do something hard. I'm going to invite you to put aside the fear and confusion around the Holy Spirit because it's there. And let's just take a look at what Jesus and his followers said about the Holy Spirit. You can make up your own mind, but I'm just asking you to take a look at what Jesus and the apostles said about the Holy Spirit, how it played out in their lives, right? So again, I just want to stress to you that the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father given to help us carry out the mission that Jesus gave us, okay? It's not given as a reward for people who are more holy than others. It's not given because you've done a bunch of works and so therefore you deserve the Holy Spirit. No. The Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father. But Jesus himself, as we just read in verse 7, Jesus himself said having the Holy Spirit is better than having him with us. That's hard to comprehend because Jesus was flesh and bone while he was on the earth, you know? And so it was easy to see him. The Holy Spirit is like, ooh, is he there? I don't know. Can I see? I can't see him. I can kind of feel him, I think, but I'm not sure if it's just because of something I ate last night. Really, it's harder. It's harder, right? That word better in many translations say, it is to your advantage that I go away so the Holy Spirit can come. The word advantage means Jesus is saying, hey guys, I want to give you a head start. I'm going to set you up to win, okay? And though I can't address every point today, it would be a much longer message than we have time for, as far as what the advantages are of the Holy Spirit, I want to talk about three advantages to having the Holy Spirit fill you, resting on you, and working through you, okay? So that we can fulfill the mission that God gave us. Point A, the Holy Spirit is our constant friend and counselor. Colin, if you don't have to say anything, will you help me do something right now? Okay, thanks. I was going to ask Max, but he's out with the kid, you know, with Rowan. So I'll ask you because you're like another son to me. So just put your arm on my shoulders. There you go. So when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of some kind of weirdo, invisible. But the Holy Spirit is meant to walk with us. Everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit is meant to walk with us, beside us. And when I get in a jam and I'm like, I don't know what to do, all I have to do is say, hey, Holy Spirit, what should I do in this moment? And the Holy Spirit will whisper to my heart. I'm telling you, it has happened more times than I can count. He gives me ideas. And it's not like I hear this big booming voice. It's a quiet presence that shows me. So he walks with me. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own, as the old hymn says. But then what we do sometimes is we go, okay, you stay there. I'm going to go over here because I have a self-help book to read. And we try all on our own to do what was meant to be done, walking hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. We can't. We fail every time. I fail every time. And then I go, whoo, this is hard. I'm messing up. And I go, oh, wait, I know what happened. I walked away from the Holy Spirit. And then I walk some more with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Colin. You're so brave. Thank you. Yeah. Give it up. You see, when the Holy Spirit is walking with me, he's guiding my every step. When I feel weak, he strengthens me and supports me. He counsels me on kingdom ways. I told you last week, almost always, kingdom ways are counterintuitive to what I want to do. They're actually completely counterintuitive to what everybody in the world who doesn't have the Holy Spirit says. It's completely different. Kingdom thinking. Oh, we need counsel from the divine counselor. He's a constant friend and counselor. I am never alone. I went to pray for someone about 6 months ago, 4 months, I can't remember. Time is weird when you're old. And I had been asked to come and pray with someone who was on his deathbed, with one of my neighbors. And he told me some sad stuff, you know. He said, I believe, like Jane Goodall believed, that when you die, you get onto an elevator and you push a button and it might go up and it might go down. And I was like, oh. And he knew I was a pastor. He had heard some of my preaching, actually. But in that moment, the Lord wouldn't let me preach to him. I just said, well, you know that I believe we can have assurance of where we're going. We can know. We can know where we're going. But then as I sat there, the Holy Spirit had me sing, hallelujah, we are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. You see, that was the Holy Spirit prompting me to sing that song. I hadn't thought of that song in a while. And it didn't seem like a good deathbed song, to be honest. I usually sing something like, peace, peace, wonderful peace. You know, like something that seems more appropriate. I don't belt out, hallelujah. But as I was singing that song, tears came down his face, and he could barely talk at that point, and then he just went. Like, I believe that. The Holy Spirit guides us and counsels us, and he's a constant friend. Alex Seeley wrote a book called The Divine Counselor, and there's a quote from there that I really like, and it says, "We are meant to be carriers of the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God who radiates from us and reveals a supernatural way of loving people that is vastly different from how the world operates." Point B, the Holy Spirit is meant to be our helper advocate. Oh, you notice I've given you verses. There's a bunch of verses, more than I even put up there. If you want to study, please do. It's worthwhile. The Holy Spirit is also our helper advocate. He helps me understand the Bible. He helps me understand it, because on my own, I'm like, huh? You know, or that seems mean, or whatever, you know. He helps me understand. He assures me that I'm a dearly loved child of God. I can sing, "He really loves us." And I know it deep in my knower. I know it. I don't have to question if I've really been saved or not, because the Holy Spirit has given me an assurance of that. The Holy Spirit also helps me say no to sin. But it's not like, it's not like that. It's more like, "No, honey, you were born for more than that. You were born for more than that. God loves you, whatever you're doing or not doing, but you were born for more than living down here in the gutter. You were born for more than that." And the other thing I love, when I have advocate up there, I couldn't not say that, because when an accusation comes at me from the enemy or from people, you know what? I don't have to say a word, because the Holy Spirit goes, "Objection. Objection. She's been cleared of all charges. Objection." Yeah. Yeah. God the Father goes, "Okay. It's settled." Right? I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to. The Holy Spirit is my advocate. He is my attorney that says objection every time it's needed. And I just sit quietly and at peace in his arms. Point C, he is the miracle grow. I didn't know how else to say it. But internally, he's the miracle grow, because the Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22 and 23 that the Holy Spirit produces good fruit inside of me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Honey, without the Holy Spirit, I don't have a lot of that in me. On my own, whoo, I fail. It's not pretty. But over time, the Holy Spirit teaches me inside how to grow good fruit. And I don't have to say, "Grow, grow, grow." No, he just does it on the inside. It's beautiful. But externally, in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, we learn that the Holy Spirit helps me to grow in gifts too. Now, there's nine of those. There's nine fruit of the Spirit, and there's nine gifts of the Spirit. Those are wise advice, message of special knowledge, great faith, gift of healing, miracles, prophecy, to discern whether a message is from God or not, to speak in an unknown language, and to interpret the language. But again, these are not magic tricks. I've seen them used as such. I maybe even have used them as such in my ignorance, in my foolishness, right? They're tools in a tool belt. Why are they given? So that when I can speak a word of knowledge to someone, like calling out strength in Christian, that didn't come from me. That came from the Holy Spirit, because he wants Christian to know you were born to be strong. You were born to be strong, right? And that in years to come, in weeks to come, in whatever, he can call back on that and go, wait a minute, God, I'm feeling really weak right now, but I'm calling on you because you put strength inside of me. And so therefore, I'm calling on you to help make me strong. You see how that works? It's a tool in your tool belt to point people to Jesus. It's a tool in your, when you pray for someone and they get healed, they shouldn't look at you and go, wow, you're amazing. They should go, wow, Jesus is amazing. God is amazing, right? They're tools in our tool belts to help. And I personally believe that the Holy Spirit can give any one of us any gift he wants to give for whoever the person is that we're dealing with. I don't think I'm limited like a personality test to one gift. I think he will give me whatever gift I need in the moment because he's that good. Maybe you're sitting there today and you say, oh man, I have every desire to walk in kingdom ways, but I can see I need help. I need those advantages you've talked about today to grow and shine to those around me, to use gifts that invite people into the kingdom. If that's you, I want you to begin asking the Holy Spirit to fill you. Begin asking the Holy Spirit to fill you, to rest on you, to take charge of you. And I want to tell you up front that in the Bible, there are times when people get hands laid on them and they receive the Holy Spirit, and there are times when there were no hands laid and they still receive the Holy Spirit. There were times when people spoke in tongues after getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and there were times when that's not mentioned. So I don't want us to put this into a box and say it's supposed to look like this. But I want you to begin asking, Holy Spirit, come. I need you. I have heard stories of people getting filled in a service like this, and I've heard of people getting filled in their beds at home alone. All our part is to say, Holy Spirit, I need you. Fill me because I want to fulfill the mission you've given me on earth to do, and I need you. I need every fruit growing actively in my life. I need every tool that you want to give me to lead others to Jesus. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you right now. Come. Holy Spirit, come. I don't have to scream it. I don't have to slap oil on people, although there's nothing wrong with that. We're asking for your Holy Spirit to come and fill us. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down. Oh, Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. Let your power fall, let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down. Thank you, Lord, that you want to give us good gifts. So we stand ready. Whenever you're ready to give it to us, we stand ready to receive your gift of the Holy Spirit filling us, resting on us, being in charge of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You'll know it when you've been filled because you'll have new power. You'll have new boldness, and you'll have new peace. Because when you don't have to control things, you get peace. And when you give over control to Holy Spirit, you get peace. Amen. Amen. You guys are so precious to my heart and to the heart of God. I just love you, each of you, so much. Even the ones I don't know yet. Next week, Ron kicks off our new theme, and it's called His Opposite Way. The theme is called His Opposite Way. It's really, we're just transitioning right into it from the kingdom of God into His Opposite Way. And Ron's message title is going to be The Focus Factor. The Focus Factor. It's going to be good, so I hope you can make it next week. We have chats and coffee and bagels, but no fruit today. You know why? Because we have cupcakes instead. To celebrate our grads, we asked Nikki to make cupcakes for us, and she actually helped us out with that. But we do have cheese sticks because I got to balance it out a little bit. So that will be out there in the foyer. Hang out, get to know someone new, and have some fun. Love you guys.